you for being here today. Thank you for just coming together to worship. Thank you that we know we have a place and a people we can do that with and where. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we pray that you will please open our hearts and minds to this familiar story, that we will see where we are in it and where others are in it, and how we too can know that you wash us clean, make us whole, and send us out into your world. In your name we pray. Amen. We know this story. We know this story. You know, all I'd have to do is say, okay, Constance, tell me the story about the 10 lepers. In fact, I probably wouldn't even have to say lepers. She'd probably fill in the blank. Tell me the story, you know, about the guy that turns around and leaves the other 9 behind because he's the one that remembered. I think you all know this story. Well, David and I have been gone this past week, and so, you know, I come back and I preach, and I'm thinking, great story. All I have to do is say, okay, now, anybody got 3 things they're thankful for? And one by one, you guys could say something, and then the sermon would be over, and we'd be on our way. And we'd be all feeling pretty good for saying the words thank you and hearing somebody else say thank you. That is kind of a good idea. I don't know. Should I continue? Anyway, we know the story. We know about it's a good thing to say thank you. In fact, it is so good, they've even done studies on people that live intentionally to say thank you. In fact, if you go to Barnes & Noble, Books & Million, if you'll go to other places or look it up online, put on there, I want to buy a journal of gratitude. And every day it'll have a little trick for you, and a little sentence that'll say, are you grateful? What's something you're thankful for in nature? Or what's something you're thankful for in this? Or what's something you're thankful for? And at the end of a certain period of time, many of them do the studies based on a year, here's what they find out. They find out things like this. They find out that if you are regular, intentional about just saying thank you, your life will be better, you'll be healthier, you'll live longer. If you need a raise from your boss, you'll probably more likely get it because you'll be able to go to him with confidence and kindness, and you'll be able to do this and that and this and that. If you were to read all of this, oh my goodness, it improves your health because the more you say thank you, the more you want to improve your health and do things. Studies, it is amazing. You should look it up, and then maybe it will convince all of us that we could report to each other a year from now that we have kept a daily journal of thank yous. I've tried several times, and I'll get through a few days, and I'll tell you where I get slowed down is that I don't want to stop. Once I start saying thank you, there's so much to say thank you about. In fact, even you know, out in nature, I have gotten to the point that if there's something beautiful in the sky and I'm driving, instead of being distracted, I'll pull over or I'll find a parking lot and I'll say, wow, those clouds. And then, like I'm sure it looked like kind of foolish, is that I stop and I take my camera and I take a picture of those clouds because I think they're so neat. We were coming out of Walmart in Rogers this past week, and I came out and what I saw was an end-to-end rainbow. I said, thank you. Thank you. This is beautiful. And as 2 people are coming up to go into Walmart, one of them says, well, you should have seen it a minute ago. That's when it was really vivid. You think, I was really finding this pretty good. Thank you. It's a really important thing. And there's so much that we can give thanks about. As we go to this story, it's not just about saying thank you more. Thank you to one another. Noticing what to be thank you about. Because we can always look on the other side of the coin. It starts out like this. Now, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. As we hear this, and if we had been one of those early hearers of this word, we would know that the story that Luke has guiding us through is guiding us through that journey of Jesus. And the first half of the book pretty much was stories about his birth, story about his baptism, stories about temptation, stories about teaching, stories about parables, stories of this and that. And then it changes in tone the first time that Jesus turns his face, is what it says in the scripture. Jesus turns his face toward Jerusalem. Now, historically, and we are on the other side of all of that, we know what that means. He's turning his face to the cross. He knows where his steps are leading him. And so every story that is after this, if we could calmly hook it onto that thought, to know that it is that kind of drive and importance that tells us this kind of kingdom that Jesus is coming to bring into being. What kind of kingdom is it? Yes, we could get to the end of the story and say, it's a kingdom about saying thank you. But listen even closer. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was traveling through in between Samaria and Galilee. That little note right there. I want to know. I've not ever done it. How many of you, there's a place in the United States where four states come together, and you can be in four states at once. Anybody been there? Say what? You got some hands over there? Is it cool? Did you stand at four states at once? Wasn't that kind of a neat feeling? I mean, I've done South Carolina and Georgia, but that's about the extent of it. You know, oh, yeah, I've done Missouri and Arkansas, Oklahoma and Arkansas. But the thought of being, could you name the spot in that spot where one state ends and the other begins? Could you find a spot to stand in between the two where you're standing at a place that's neither that state or that? It'd be kind of ridiculous. You'd have to have very strong toenails to stand on. All right, so in other words, to be in between Galilee and Samaria tells a story in itself. Galilee. You know, those folks don't mix with the folks from Samaria. In their history, there was one time when they were all one. But through separations of this ethnic group or that ethnic group or this issue or that issue or that way of practicing religion and this way of practicing religion, there was Samaria and there was Galilee. And they don't mix with each other. Unless there is something that takes precedence over your identity of where you are from. And that's the spot they were in. They were living the in-between. Have you ever felt like in your life that you've been at those moments in life? You know, say you've made a major move and you're living in between where you loved and where you are, and you haven't felt at home yet, and you feel kind of split, that in-between? Or the in-between, if you've taken a physics test in high school, and you've taken the test, and you did all the studying, but you're in-between taking it and finding out what you made. Or you're in-between that space where you're so full of anger, and hitting that spot of peace is a tough in-between to be. Or that in-between, well, Sandra Bolkin is the music director in the contemporary worship, and December 25th is the due date. So she was an easy example of, She's in between knowing she's going to have a baby and when that baby gets here. We've been in between places. I bet every single one of you have a moment in your life you can describe maybe right now. And these folks were to the point that their identity was no longer where they were from, but their identity was leprosy. Do we ever hear their names? Not a single one. Do we ever find out what their families were like? How long had they had leprosy? Did we find out what house they had to leave behind? How much education they had? Did we find out who's wealthy and who's poor? It didn't matter. They were all lepers. When I was telling my family that I was going to marry David Beecher and I was going to go meet the family for the first time, you know, it's very easy to label people as one whole lump of a group. And so in their wonderful brotherly sister way, they said, "Be sure to tell us if they're wearing shoes." Families, you know. They were. They still are. But you come upon this group who now have their identity wrapped in something that they didn't ask for. They didn't do anything wrong to get it. It's a disease that will attack your extremities first. It will begin to deteriorate your body until finally it will hit one of the major organs and you die. And so it was very contagious. And for the sake of their families, for the sake of wherever they came from, for the sake of anyone they cared about and others too, they were stuck literally in that in-between space. And they had rules. They were required to stand at least 10 feet away from anyone. They would tell people right off the bat, "Keep your distance. Caution. Something's wrong. You don't want to be where we are." And they were, even when they were healed, if that ever happened with anybody, there was a long and rigorous thing they had to do. They also had to have a little bit of means. I won't go into that, but read about it in Leviticus. It's really interesting about all that they go through just to be. These folks were at that distance. Have you been at a point in your life where you have felt that tension, sorrow, anxiety, or also anticipation of being in between? Have you ever been at that spot in your life where you've felt distance from God? You didn't even have to have a sign to post in the ground, "Keep your distance." But whatever is going on, that you feel that. Or maybe we stretch it in our minds to our country or to our globe. How will we feel the presence of Christ in the way that we live between Sundays? And what can we do to help that? And so here it was. But I love it, the way Jesus heals them. He says, as they call out to him, and notice they didn't call out loud. They don't use that word. It just says they cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And his next response is not, "Go wash in the river 7 times and then come back and get checked." It wasn't, "All right, scoop up some mud and rub it on your skin, wash it off, rub it on your skin, you'll be healed." He doesn't tell them to do anything except show themselves to the priest. Can you imagine what good news even that was? Here they've been hiding themselves, and now this transformation in their lives, our hope of it, now they can show their face again and look at the face of their loved ones. Oh, there's so many things we could wrap around just those images. Maybe that image is the one that you're feeling drawn back or hidden and afraid to show your face in that sense of who you are. Show yourself. And what was so neat, can you imagine? Here's 10 that are going. I don't know which directions they went, if they all went in a clump and said, yay, finally we're out of here. I don't know any of that, but I know that as they were going, think about it. When Moses was parting the Red Sea, did anybody step in the water before the first moment that it parted? Did anybody just dangle their toes? These folks did that literally. They started going before the healing started. It's as they are going, as they step out to do that, as they're going. Many times in our lives, we got to do that. We can be stuck. And that promise that God is with us and pulling us forward, it took a lot of guts and hope and like, well, I'm willing to try anything. And moving before the healing started. And as they were moving and as they were being healed, is that one guy looks and he sees the work of God. And that has transformed his direction, his heart, his life. He sees the work of God. For me, it might be an end-to-end rainbow, as simple as that. But to see the work of God and for him to be pulled out of that in-between space in his life, what does he want to do but to go back and thank the one responsible? We have so much that we can thank the one responsible for. I'm thankful for each one of you to our Lord. And in the 8 o'clock, 8:30 service, I am thankful for them and for the 10:50 service and for the whole bunch of us. I'm just thankful that God has called us together. But to fall at Jesus' feet says there's this unearthing of emotion that knows there's nothing he did to make that happen. And he falls at the feet of Jesus. Now, I could probably say to Dewey, come on out and let me demonstrate falling at somebody's feet. But then several of you would have to get me up. So we won't do that. But if you fall at somebody's feet, play with me for a moment. What do you see? It's the obvious. What do you see? You see the feet. Do you see up around you? Do you see the worries that have been just troubling you and holding you? Do you see the big trauma that has happened in your family, that is happening in this world, that in the division of Samaria and Galilee and this and that and Democrat and Republican and this and that? No, you see the one who can walk you through it and be with you every step of the way. Thank you. So, he doesn't let him stay there, though, does he? He gives him a direction. He says, this is good, but you got to get up and go now. Get up and go to a world that needs to know God works in our lives. We come each Sunday, maybe we don't have leprosy of our skin or body, maybe we don't have a major thing even on our mind, but we come in need of wanting to be closer to God and wanting God to walk with us through life. And so we do that first thing. We come. Maybe we've kept our distance from God for a while, but we come. And then as we turn toward him, there's one thing that we all do. It's not a thank you journal. But if you'll open your bulletins, what follows is our hymn of the day, a fun, finish, bouncy, energetic thank you song. But then what comes right after that? What's the line? Yes, it's the Great Thanksgiving. Did you know you came to the Great Thanksgiving every week? Yes, it's communion. Yes, it's Eucharist. Yes, it's the Lord's Supper. But this is the Great Thanksgiving. giving. So whether you knew it or not, every week we come to that moment that we put ourselves at the feet of Jesus. And when we have finished that meal together, what do? He sends us on our way to a world that needs what this place and people have to give. Thanks be to God.